Final hour on this Friday, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. We start our third and final hour by going to the phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Andrew Allegretta, the voice of Vanderbilt Baseball, joins us now. Andrew, thanks for coming on. It's been a fun season to start so far, especially a couple of run rule wins on Tuesday and Wednesday.
It's been good so far, Jake. It's been odd. We've played five games and only one of them has gone nine innings.
Yes, that is strange. It's just the 5-4 game against TCU, right? The last four have been run rules.
Yeah, run rule versus Texas Tech, run rule in the opposite direction versus Oklahoma State, and then the two versus Eastern Michigan.
Very strange start to the season, including a seven-inning no-hitter for you on Wednesday, despite giving up two runs. Was that one of the stranger no-hitters you've gotten to call? I know you've had a few.
I would say it's the strangest. I'm not gonna minimize a no-hitter. Like, if a pitching staff throws,
for sure,
you know, however many innings and they don't give up a hit, that's an accomplishment. Is it the same thing as what Rocker did or what Leiter did? No. Is it the same thing that McIlvain and Little did versus Kentucky on the road? Not really. But that's okay, right? Like, that's a big deal for those guys, and you make note of those, and that's still an accomplishment, whether you do that in seven innings or nine innings. And, you know, baseball is full of stats and asterisks and all of that sort of stuff. So if you feel the need to kind of put a caveat next to it, that's fine. But it's definitely a cool moment for those guys.
Definitely. It was cool to see on Wednesday. And I think the biggest impression that you can take from the start to this season has been the bats. Tied for the nation's lead in home runs as a team with 16 through five games. Who have you seen step up the most in terms of the offense? And how great is it to see these guys getting the ball out of the yard consistently early on in the year?
That's been a lot of fun for sure. You know, for baseball fans in Nashville, I would certainly point your attention to Brody Johnston. Start there. He's got five home runs. I think that's either first or tied first in the country. He's been, you know, incredible. He was really good last season. He was the SEC tournament MVP. Hit a home run in the championship game versus Ole Miss, and he looks every bit of the part of Vanderbilt's next first-round MLB draft pick when he's eligible, not this season, but next season. So he's a kid from Ottawa, Tennessee. So if you're from the mid-state, I certainly would point your attention to Brody Johnston. He's a fun one to watch. He plays third base, can play shortstop, just, you know, prototypical in a lot of different ways, and has really grown and evolved as a hitter too. I've talked about that with Corb some. So that's awesome to see. Fun performance for Colin Barzy. That's a name to know. That's a guy that with his performance this year could also play himself in the first, second, or third round of the MLB draft this season. He's a junior from outside of Chicago. Had a three home run performance versus TCU to open the season in Globe Life. I think he had like a grand total of like, I don't know, like 1,300 feet worth of home runs. Like the last one in the ninth inning went 450 feet. He's really strong. He's a catcher. He's going to be a really important part of our lineup. So those are a couple of names to know for baseball fans around here. Right off the bat would be Brody Johnston and Colin Barzy. But there's others. There's Braden Holcomb. Tommy Gooden's got a couple of home runs. Riker Waite is a really fun guy to watch. He's got two home runs and a grand slam. He's a shortstop. He stands, you know, 5'8", 5'9", comes from Arizona, gets the Dustin Pedroia comp a little bit for those that like baseball back in the day with the Red Sox. So there's some names to follow right there.
We're talking with voice of the Vandy Boys, Andrew Allegretta. Andrew, I know baseball can sometimes be a weird sport, and especially, you know, to kick off the year, you're still trying to figure out different things with your lineup and all that. But what went wrong for the Vandy Boys out at the Shriners, specifically against TCU and Oklahoma State?
I would probably hedge a little bit that things went wrong. And to your point, baseball is a weird sport. There's 60-some-odd games here in college. For this group of Vanderbilt baseball players, like, they're kind of figuring out their spots. They're kind of figuring out this group of the Vandy Boys. TCU is a team that very much could win a national championship. And if it wasn't for one throwing error in the eighth inning on a drop third strike, they probably could have gotten out of there with a victory. The game versus Oklahoma State That one's a little bit harder to figure out, and that's okay. The pitcher for Oklahoma State was really good. Like, he had a wicked curveball that was just kind of dropping at the bottom part of the zone perfectly for strikes, and Vanderbilt was kind of in between pitches, and those days happen, and the bullpen wasn't as crisp on the third day of a weekend as perhaps you would like it to be. So I don't know that there's any gigantic red flags coming out of those first couple of games. You missed an opportunity versus TCU. That would have been a huge resume boost come, not to already talk about May and June, but that would have been a really good one to have in your back pocket. I don't know that anything went gigantically wrong. I think they're kind of figuring out roles. They made a couple of defensive mistakes, and, you know, in a landscape of college baseball where a lot of teams don't play elevated competition on the opening weekend, Vanderbilt went out and played elevated competition against the Big 12, specifically TCU, who can win a national championship, and Oklahoma State that could challenge for Omaha. So, you know, you had one really bad day versus Oklahoma State. Outside of that, I thought they looked pretty okay.
And I had the opportunity to kind of hang out with pitcher Alex Kranzler a little bit over the course of the offseason. I know he has a couple appearances early on this season. What do you see his role being this year?
I don't know. That's going to be fun. Kranzler's awesome. One, because he's a good dude, and two, because he throws more pitches on our pitching staff than anybody. I'd have to pull up the list, but I think he's got 7 or 8 different pitches, and like, maybe if he feels like adding a ninth, he probably could. I mean, he's got, like, you know, the fastballs, the cutters, the changeups, the curveballs, the splitters, the sweepers, all of that sort of stuff. He's really, really a fun guy to be around because he thinks about pitching at a high level. What exactly that role is, that's going to be interesting. He's definitely going to be a bullpen guy for Vanderbilt, but I would suspect, because he's a junior, because he's been in some pretty significant spots before, that more likely than not, whether it's the 7th, 8th, or 9th innings, he's probably going to be a high leverage guy. I will say, you know, Vanderbilt's pitching staff doesn't think about their staff, like Brownie and Tyler Herb and Corbin, don't think about their staff in the same way that, it's not that they don't want a closer. It's not that they don't want the prototypical setup man. It's just that they're out here trying to collect outs. They've got 27 outs to deal with, and however they get to those 27 outs is great. They're not going to just slot somebody in as the closer and say that's that. That sort of stuff kind of develops throughout the course of the year, but I would expect Alex Kranzler, the junior, to be kind of a high-leverage guy.
Talking with Andrew Allegretta, voice of Vanderbilt baseball, and you mentioned pitching, Andrew. A new-look rotation led by Connor Fennell. What were your impressions of your first look at those three last weekend? What can we maybe expect in their second starts of the year against Marist this weekend?
I'd expect they do pretty good versus Marist, but we'll see. You never know. I love Fennell. He's so much fun. I hope people get a chance to watch him throw. Like, he's the Friday night guy for Vanderbilt baseball, and he's going to top out at like 91, 92, and maybe sit closer to 89 to 90. And he does it because he's an elite competitor to some extent. Without putting too much pressure on Fennell or over-exaggerating the comparison, he is the baseball version of Diego Pavia, right? Like, Diego is ultra-competitive. He will do anything to get the victory. And despite the fact of a perceived deficiency, you know, for Diego, it's his height. For Fennell, it's his lack of velocity. They find ways to just get the job done. Somebody quoted Fennell or someone in Fennell's orbit. I think The Athletic had a piece that basically said Fennell hates hitters. And it's true. Like, if he's on the mound, he just hates them. And it's a great attitude to have. He throws 90. And he thinks he's throwing 105, and he's going to burn it past you. Now, there's some in-the-weed stuff about, you know, the way that he releases the baseball, how far he releases the baseball toward home plate that make him difficult. But he's so much fun to watch. I think the rotation should be fine. I think there will be some bumps because you've got Austin Nye, who's super talented, but he's a sophomore. And you've got Nate Taylor, who's super talented, but he's a sophomore that didn't pitch very much last year versus Georgia. I think they'll be good, but I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, every now and then there's a hiccup and the bullpen has to step up.
Yeah, with Connor Fennell, you need the opposite of a pitch clock on him because he is going to step up there and be ready to pitch. He's going to throw strikes too.
We joked a little bit, Jake, but like, there's the Fennell rule. And this is very real. Like, Fennell threw so fast. He got the ball and threw so quickly. He was so disorienting toward hitters that they made an adjustment to the pitch clock rule in the offseason. Like, it used to be that as soon as a hitter looked up and made eye contact with the pitcher could throw. The adjustment is a hitter must look up and have his hands back and ready to hit. Fennell was so disorienting that they had to kind of shift the advantage back to the hitters after a lot of conversation in the offseason. So, yeah, he's that guy.
It was so funny. Last year, I called one of the games on SEC Network. It might have been Tennessee Tech. And he came in, and we were doing an interview during that inning, and we couldn't get any questions in because he worked so quickly. The inning was over in like 90 seconds. He's a lot of fun to watch, and he's pitching this afternoon, correct?
He sure is. 2 p.m. first pitch today.
Perfect. We are excited for that coming up in just a couple of hours. 1:45 pregame on 94.9 The Fan. You can listen in with Andrew there. Andrew, appreciate you coming on, and we'll have to do it again soon.
As always, Jake.
Andrew Allegretta joining us from Vanderbilt Baseball. The Vandy boys starting off their weekend, their first home weekend series today against Marist. They'll play three games against Marist this weekend. We'll talk a little bit of Vandy boys when we come back. Also, an update on Finland and Canada as they're heading to the third period in the Olympic semifinals. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game.